You can talk all you want to about God and what he can do for you, but you'll never know what God can do until you walk through the fire. You never know what God can do until you've been sick and you got a healing. Hallelujah. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. And sometimes you need a lawyer in the courtroom. When you know you're guilty, you know you're messed up, but you need God's help. God says, I give you favor and grace sometimes. You'll never know until you've walked through the fire and experienced your deliverance.
Welcome to The Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. The only hope we have is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're going through, the hope in Christ is eternal. You may be facing some tremendous challenges right now. Join us today as we share this message with you about hope.
I want to stay on this idea of who we are and how God wants to use us so that we very, very clear about the purpose for which he saved us. Again, he did not save us just so we can go to heaven. That wasn't his purpose for saving us, just so we can go to heaven. He saved us so that while on earth, we can be his representatives and he can point to others, or he can use our lives and point our lives to others and say, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of life that I want to be lived here. That's the abundant life. That's the fulfilled life. That's the blessed life that I have designed. That doesn't mean you're going to be a multimillionaire, because some multimillionaires are not blessed. They just have some money. But he wants you to be blessed wherever you are and however you are, and he wants your life to be fulfilled. So if you're not fulfilled in this stage of your life, I can see those that are just becoming adults, and they are thinking, you know how it was when you were getting out of high school, you had these big dreams about what you're going to do and what you're going to accomplish and what life was going to look like. You're going to be happy and you're going to marry the right person, or if you don't marry the right one, you're going to marry the left one, and you're just going to keep going and until you find somebody. You know, it's going to be good, and you're going to have a nice job, nice house, you're going to have money to do what you want to do, you're going to be able to travel. You know, you remember those days when you thought that's the way it was going to be, and then you got to be 35, and you're saying, well, it's still ahead of me, and you got to be 40 and 45, and now you're saying, But I found out 34 years ago that my life was not fulfilled, even though I was making really good money. I was single. I had my own home. I had multiple automobiles. I was traveling around the country, coming and going as I pleased. Didn't have to answer to anybody. Didn't have to say nothing to anybody. And I didn't have to beg nobody, because I had what I wanted and I did what I wanted to do. But there was still something missing. Sitting in corporate America thinking, there's got to be something else I should be doing. And I believe some of you will have those thoughts from time to time. You just put them to the back burner because you just get busy. But if truth be known, you're not satisfied with where you are. We keep trying to do other things to find that satisfaction. So we'll get rid of some people in our lives. We'll leave some people. We'll let them leave us. We'll leave a job. We'll go get another degree. We'll do all those things, and then we'll still say, I'm not fulfilled. I would say you're never going to be fulfilled until you are functioning in the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. And that's the purpose for which he called you. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And I used to think, well, if I do what God want me to do, I'm not going to enjoy my life. I don't know what he might do to me. I would think he's going to do something to me. I don't know what he's going to do to me if I say, Lord, just take my life and do what you want to with it. Oh, my goodness. I don't know where I might end up. Well, you don't know where you might end up, but I'll tell you this, wherever you end up when you do that, you're going to have a fulfilled life and you're going to enjoy your life. The last time we were here, we were discovering that we are all competent ministers. And that word minister means one who has been given an assignment by an organization or a department to fulfill. That minister have been given an assignment. In some countries and in their structure of government, they will have minister's office, minister of defense, minister of education, minister of social services. They call them ministers. Don't mean they're preaching. It means they're serving to fulfill an assignment that was given to them by the ones to whom they are reporting, and we are reporting to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we are ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are not only ministers, but he has made us competent as ministers. It is my assignment over the next few weeks to get the people of God who have become comfortable sitting in the service and get you to begin to render service as God has equipped us to render. And it doesn't mean you have to go out evangelizing or knocking on doors or getting in anybody's face with the Bible, but it does mean that you want to be cognizant, be aware of the things that God has placed in your life and how he can use your life right where you are to serve him in the capacity that he's made available to you. He's put you on that job so that you can be a difference. I was talking to my daughter, Jessica. She's an elementary school teacher, and she's just complaining one day about the students and how challenging it is for her to get her assignments done with the students. And I'm saying, now step back and decide that you're not just going to be a teacher. You're going to be someone who's imparting something into those kids' life that they can change the trajectory of their lives forever. You're in a good place to impart something into their life besides just get your pencil out and write this down. God opened that door for you and put you in there. You have to go in there with an assignment to do something that's going to affect those children's lives forever. And you need to do that if you're working as a cashier. You got to say, God has put me here to affect the lives of the people that are passing through the line. Or else you just over there chewing gum, wondering what time, looking at the clock. And you could be having the greatest spiritual fulfillment that there could be. All those people coming through your line, you can touch their lives every day. If we ought to be ministers that God called us to be, we need to first come to grips that we are to be sold out to the Lord. And we are sold out when we recognize and make the Lord the priority in our lives. Now, listen, we're not making him a priority. We're making him the priority. And if we haven't done that, that's the first thing we need to do. Because if the Lord is not the priority in our lives, then no need of trying to function effectively as the minister that God wants us to be. He's not our priority. You can tell what your priority is. Where do you spend most of your time, your effort, your energy, your thoughts, and your money? Paul made a convincing argument to the church at Corinth about who they were and then what their assignment was. I want to look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Paul is writing to that church at Corinth, and he says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." I learned this verse first in the King James Version. And it says, "Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph." But that is not the best translation. This translation gives us the better picture of what Paul was saying to his readers. "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant possession in Christ." But first of all, this passage begins with "thanks be to God." And I just want to throw this in here, whoever you are And whatever is going on in your life tonight, you can take a moment anytime and always say, thanks be to God. Can we just think about that for a second? No matter what you got going on or where you are, and where you might be in transition, you might have some issues, you might have health problems, you might have financial challenges, whatever it is, say thanks be to God. Come on, let's say that. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. It may not be what I want, but it ain't as bad as it could be. Father, we just thank you right now. Thanks be to God. When you give thanks to God, you are recognizing the influence that God has over your well-being at this moment. I thank you, Lord. Some people had loss in the storm. I called my mother the other morning. I said, how you doing? She said, I'm having a little problem getting up, and I'm hopping around. I said, well, let's thank God for the hopping, because some people won't even be able to get up. So let's thank him for the hopping. We just start praising God, and you can hop right now. There's always a couple of ways to look at something. The devil gonna say, see that, you can't get nothing. God don't think about you. You, where's your faith? You ain't got no faith. God don't heal. You mad at him now. Thanks be to God. Many of the people in the church in Corinth were those who were conquered by the Romans and were not citizens. They were not only some citizens, but they were also subjects of the Roman Empire. The Romans were conquerors. They conquered many territories and countries and nations. Paul takes something that happened frequently in Rome and in the nations, and he used that occasion to give the church at Corinth a picture of what he was talking about in terms of this triumphant procession. When the wars are over, in our generation, they've fought wars that have never been over. The Iraq war still isn't over. The war in Afghanistan isn't over. The Vietnam war ain't over, because they just got up and ran. But we ain't whooped nobody since World War II. When they came home from the war, they had these big parades. You remember that, don't you, Brother Douglas? But they had parades. You can go back and look at the film of them coming down the Fifth Avenue or wherever the place is in New York. They have a national parades, and they're celebrating, and people are coming out cheering on the victors and the generals, and all of those are in the parade and all of that. And they're just saying, we won the war. We had victory in Europe. We had victory in Japan. We are victorious. And so they had a procession. Well, they did that when Rome would come back from war, and they would have these parades or processions. The general would enter the city in a chariot, and he'd have the captives, and the people that were captives were also in the parade. They would parade and say, these are the spoils of war. With the victors have the victims that were captives, and they were in the parade as well, followed by the troops, and they proceeded along the main road in the city capital, and they would go up and then offer sacrifices in their temples. The general was often accompanied in his chariots by his wife or children and friends, and then behind him would be slaves holding up the crown over his head. And the infantry would come down in the rear, and they would be shouting, triumph, 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 as they praise their leaders and praise their gods. This is the picture that Paul was conveying when he said, Christ Jesus always leads us. Look at what it says. Thanks be to God who always leads us in a triumphant possession in Christ. You see how they do, the Romans do, when they come back with these parades and processions. We are in a procession, but it is led by Christ. Christ is the victor. You know who we are in that possession? We are his slaves. He conquered sin in the grave and brought us back as his captives. This is who I took from the devil. and from his purpose and from his plan. And these are my captives. These are the spoil of the spiritual war that is waging against Satan and all of his forces, trying to use these people who were his slaves, his subjects. And now we've come and I've offered salvation and I've taken these and now they belong to me. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He's talking to believers now. Who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. That's a bad thing to tell us in our culture. You ain't your own. You don't even belong to you. He said, you don't belong to you. Well, who do you belong to? He said, you were bought with a price. Jesus paid the price and he conquered sin and death and he rescued you with his precious blood. So you don't belong to yourself. I didn't want to hear that either. No, you don't belong to yourself. So why you keep acting like you got to do your own thing? When you get saved, you don't have an own thing anymore. You don't do no own thing. You did that when you was unsaved. It's your thing. You don't have a thing when you get saved. You belong to God. And if you're still doing your own thing, then you are missing the opportunity. You're not a minister. You're one of them bootleg ministers. If you're still doing your own thing, you can't do his thing and your thing at the same time because they are opposed to one another. He said, you have been bought with the price. You are not your own. Therefore, honor God in your body. Here's what Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So if you haven't settled the fact that you belong to God, then you're still arguing every day about whose will be done. Jesus taught us in the model prayer. When you pray, say, Lord, thy will be done. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. And when are we going to get to the point where that's a reality in our lives that we're going to say, Lord, whatever you want, your will be done. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul says this to the same church, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him who died and was raised again. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what's good. Paul is saying, Jesus Christ came, he grabbed us, he put us in the parade, and he's having his victory march so that all of us who are walking behind him, all of these belong to me. Now I'm going to put them to work in the kingdom. I'm going to give them an assignment. Don't think that the people that they conquered just came over in the new land and just sit down at the beach. They put them to work. You have an assignment now. You were a slave. You belong to us and you're going to work. That's why we brought you over here. You're going to do what I'm not able to do. The Lord has us here to do what he's unable to do because he's not here. I wonder why he used to say, greater works shall ye do. You know why he said, greater works shall ye do? Because ye supposed to be doing some work. And if you didn't know you were a ye, well, you are a ye. Greater works shall you do. In other words, he's saying, my space is limited. even if I was there, I couldn't do all those things. So my spirit is going to go into you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you're going to be able to do all this ministry work. So I got all these people. Now, how many people you think in the world right now that say they are saved? Millions of people in the U.S. say they're saved. They're born again believers. And he said, look, I got all these millions of people that I expect to be ministering every day. Let me ask you a question. Have you by any chance ran into somebody in the last few weeks that's been ministering? Where are all these millions of people that he bought with his own blood and say, you are ministering and you have an assignment? You ever run into any of them? How many people that have even shared their faith with you, didn't know you were saved, and try to just say, hey, are you a believer? You don't run into that. Where are they? I tell you where they're at. They're in church. You don't run into them. I mean, I ran into some at the Super Bowl weekend. They were downtown on the street corner passing out tracts. But in our everyday life, nobody's talking about the Lord or engaging in some of the things that on a personal level. When we do, we whisper, hey, I see you reading your Bible. People seem to be taken back when they see somebody praying at the restaurant over their food nowadays. They'll come over to your table and says, I was across the room and I saw you praying. I'm like, you ought to be seeing everybody praying. You, if you were back there in that kitchen, see what they were doing, you'd be praying. You'd be laying hands on your food. You'd be, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over these potatoes. Lord, I know they had them out here 3 days ago. That baked potato that they had 3 days ago is now potato soup. Just look when you go out to dinner and see how many people you see praying over there. Somebody will say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. Y'all don't do that when y'all go to a restaurant? Try to find another believer out here doing ministry work. I'm not talking about somebody obnoxious and really making a lot of noise, but I mean, did anybody ever say anything to you? Then do you ever say anything to anybody? Paul begins with, we're part of this triumphant possession. Thanks be to God who always leads us. He continually leads us in triumphant possession in Christ. And then through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. So not only did they have these parades, when these parades were going on, there were incense and fragrance all along the parade path and flowers and smells and everything celebrating. And he grabbed that same imagery. You know how you smell all that fragrance when they're coming in? The Romans are coming in and they're having that big parade. Well, we are the fragrance of Christ. We are the fragrance of Christ.
There's an old hymn that says, the only hope we have is in Christ Jesus. With all the things that are going on in our country and in our community and perhaps even in our own homes, we need the eternal hope that the Lord Jesus Christ brings through his salvation. This is Jerry G. Martin, and I hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to hear it again, you can go to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. You can listen to today's message or any previous messages that you've heard on this station. We are in a place where it is time to rebuild. It was Nehemiah who said about the walls in Jerusalem, the walls have been torn down and the gates of the city has been burned with fire. At the Light of the World, we are preparing for a week of fasting and prayer. And you can join right along with us. We're going to have in-person prayer every evening beginning Monday, November the 1st through Friday, November the 5th at 7 p.m. at our main sanctuary at 16161 Old Humble Road. And you're welcome to join along with us as we're going to pray over our country. We're going to pray over our community. We're going to pray over our families. Again, that's November 1st through 5th, 7 o'clock p.m. You can come from all over the city and join us right here in the humble North Houston area. You're also invited to be our guest each Sunday at 10 a.m. for for our morning service in person. We are coming back together, worshiping God and reaching people for His kingdom. For more information, you can call us at 281-964-1393 or visit us online at lowcf.org. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.